pastor asked me to deliver the teaching today. I hopefully will not be bringing a sermon, but my good friend Murray will correct me if I get into that territory. So today's message is taken from John 14, verses 1 to 7. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. Okay. So I'll give you a moment to look it up. Very well known. Jesus is walking with Thomas and says some very penetrating words. Let's read. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come back and take you with me so that you can be also where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going. How can we know the way? And Jesus answered, and say it with me, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. I've asked our tech staff to run a clip, and I'll just set it up. How many of you know the Seinfeld series? Give me a show of hands. Okay, this clip is entitled, Elaine Goes to Hell. And Elaine is played by Julia Dreyfus. The male actor she's talking to is presented as a born-again Christian. I think that's enough. Roll it.
So where do you want to eat?
Feels like an Arby's night.
Arby's, beef and cheese and... Do you believe in God?
Yes.
Oh, so you're pretty religious.
I try.
So is it a problem that I'm not really religious?
Not for me.
Why not?
I'm not the one going to hell.
How does the world see us as Christians? Do they see us as followers of Jesus? Do we emulate, do we copy his example? Is God amused when he hears comments like, I'm not very religious? The Bible at Proverbs 9, verse 10 tells us, the fear of the Lord is where wisdom begins. Does Elaine's live-in boyfriend fear God? Maybe. But do his actions show it? Not really. When is the last time any one of you told someone personally they were going to hell? What is the remedy for a troubled heart? Let us take a closer dive into what John 14, verses 1 to 3 has to say. And for those of you who brought your Bible and fat pencils and a notebook, you may want to take a few notes. The truest remedy for a troubled heart is faith and trust. Faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In fact, the only remedy for a troubled heart is faith and trust in this person of Jesus Christ. It's all about a relationship, not about a religion. A relationship with Jesus Christ. I spoke to a close family member this past week, and he asked me how I can know this is true. Well, fact, faith, and feeling. The fact is, Jesus died for your sins. If you repent and you come before him and say, I accept you as my personal Savior, he will save you. He will save you. So, contrary to Oprah and others, Christianity and other religions are not all on the same bus to glory. The devil would have us believe this lie. C.S. Lewis, in his books, The Screwtape Letters, observed that Satan does not have to convert us to his cause. He only must confuse us into staying in a permanent state of doubt and confusion. We live in a generation that is doubtful, confused, and deceived. And I don't have to use a lot of examples to convince you of that. The internet is rife with those examples. Secondly, heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. Are you prepared? When you approach the throne of glory and Jesus is asked the question, by God, did I know you? Does it strike fear into your hearts, or great hope, or uncertainty? Or can you say with conviction, I know, I believe Jesus is my Savior? Thirdly, we have a true friend while we live and a true home when we die. I like to use the word pass to glory. How many of you are going to heaven? Show of hands. How many people are going the other way? Good. Good. What a friend we have in Jesus, the old song goes. All our sins to bear, all our sins to carry, everything to God. What's the word, Patty? In prayer. Thank you. Are we living like we love Jesus, or are we going through the motions? Do we, like Thomas in this passage, doubt where we are going and say, how and when are we going to get there? Are we like those little children in the back of our car who are saying they're bored, they're tired, they when will we get there, Dad? When will we get there? I'm bored, I'm tired, I want something to eat. Aren't we, even as adults, much like Thomas? Fourthly, life is a journey, not a ride, nor a race. Will you get a better place in heaven because you lived a more righteous life than another Christian? Anybody want to say yes to that and explain it? No. The Bible says in this passage, as Jesus says, I have created many mansions for you. And words are almost inadequate to describe what heaven is going to be like. Man, I could go on for half an hour like on that. But I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you are too. Who will get you into heaven? Speak up. Jesus, yes, Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Again, one family member close to me said, your truth, not mine. It cut deeply into my heart. Years of taking that child to Sunday school, to church and hearing their prayers, and now that child being influenced by other religions, by Buddhism, by the darkness that we see every day in our lives. An old German proverb says, too late old, too late smart. It's never too late to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Never. We don't know where the journey of life will take us, but we know who holds our lives and our future. Dedicate your life to Jesus, and you will know how to live your life to the fullest. Dedicate your life to Jesus, and you will make sense of the world in which you live. Dedicate your life to Jesus, and he will show you the meaning of your life. The purpose of life is to be in relationship with Jesus. You know, when I bridle when I hear words like, what's your religion? I went to Saudi Arabia a number of times for long periods of time. And in one situation, I was given a form they wanted to renew and have me stay there another 3 months. There's a section in the application in Saudi Arabia which goes something like this. Are you Catholic, Coptic, Protestant? And they go through about, you know, another six or seven kind of denominational characterizations. And then there's a last blank, which I filled in. And then it simply says, how would you describe your spiritual connection or relationship? And I simply said, I'm a follower of Yahshua. And in Arabic, Yahshua is Jesus. So again, we compromise nothing when we say we are a follower of Jesus. It distinguishes us and is the basis, the critical cornerstone for our faith. So, bottom line, I filled it in. And 2 weeks later, my boss, who is a lapsed Baptist, takes me aside and says, what the H-E-L-L were you thinking when you filled that in? I can't renew your term. I can't keep you another 3 months because they think you're proselytizing. You're saying something to these people, to these Islamic people, that they find deeply offensive. And I said it to him. His wife was there. I said, you know what? I hope I offend him into the kingdom of heaven because that's what I believe. That's what I stand for, and that's what this church stands for. So let me challenge you with this question. What distinguishes us as Christians? What sets us apart? Theologian R.C. Sproul, founder of Ligonier Ministries, was asked to summarize the Bible in one verse, or one sentence, rather. He thought for a few seconds and replied with the words of a Sunday school song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Oh, that we could have a simple and strong faith that even a theologian can understand. In my reading of my Epoch Times digital subscription, I read of a recent government report which identified the top 10 threats to Canada. This is a government report. The first is already happening. Truth could become indistinguishable from lies in 2.5 years. Well, I'm saying not 2.5 years, now. And we are finding that as we move into a digital world, our ability to discern truth from fiction, from virtual reality, from all those other adjectives is becoming more and more clouded, more and more difficult. Let me conclude with five takeaways. And Murray, you got your fat pencil ready? Good, good. Okay, first, cleanse your head with the scriptures. Cleanse your head with the scriptures. Bathe in them. Make a phylactery of your favorite verses. Commit them to memory. One thing I learned in Sunday school, we made phylacteries. And those of you that have been to Sunday school obviously know the Jews got this right. The Pharisees, the priests would wear a box with ribbons and tie it around their head. And in that box would be the verses that they hold dearest to themselves. But fall in love with the word. In the morning, wake up with the word. In the evening, go to sleep with the word. It doesn't have to be a big sermon to yourself. Just a verse. Secondly, be vigilant, not afraid. God will keep you here as long as you have a hope and a purpose. That's what I told my 97-year-old mother, who was feeling pretty sorry for herself, because she expressed to me that, I'm kind of in the way. I'm in good health, but, nobody really wants to come around and visit me. I've been without my husband now for, 17 years, and, I was getting a little nervous in the way that she was talking because, BC, British Columbia, is the province that kills people. And legislation, pernicious legislation like MAID, medically assisted help in dying, are aimed at exactly that. The WEF was quoted as saying that one of their goals was to get rid of useless people. Be vigilant. God didn't make useless people. He made people who need him. So thirdly, be about God's business. Be about God's business. Do people know that you're a Christian? Are you an authentic Christian? Do you practice what you believe? Or are you someone who just, I can act like a Christian on Sunday. That's enough. Do people know you by your Christ-like gentle love and behavior? I know I've fallen short of this many times. Fourthly, read your Bible. Focus on it. Start and end your day with it. Let it define the direction and boundaries of your life. The other stuff will take care of itself. And finally, fifthly, do not worry. Pray. Heaven is real as this service, as being in Leduc, Alberta. And we have something not only to look forward to in this life, but also in the next. Let me just wrap it up, and I'm going to wrap it up very, very quickly. I'm not even looking at my clock. Maybe I'm ahead, maybe I'm behind. If you remember one truth in this sermon, remember this. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Please repeat it with me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I can't hear you. Please say it again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm just going to give you the benediction, and then the new Cornerstone group, I just named them, we'll come up and wrap up the service. Bow your heads as I pray in benediction. Father, we thank you for being with us in this service. We thank you for your blessings, which are many. We pray, Father, that you will keep us clear and focused on what your word says and what you have said. Thank you for sending Jesus. Sometimes it is just above our comprehension, but we know that you are graceful and that you forgive us and that we have a hope and a purpose in you. Amen.